Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Dr. John DeWitt with the Brain Builders Podcast. Thanks for joining us. Today we're going to talk about the three things you can add to your regimen to drastically reduce your risk of Alzheimer's disease. And if you heard that barking, that is my lovely dog, Lucy. So we've covered the 40 plus, it seemed like 400, lifetime risk factors for cognitive decline last time. We've discussed the lab tests you need to see what specific trophic factors you may be lacking in. Now what? Well, as Dr. Bredesen points out, this is a complicated condition that has over 40 factors that can affect cognitive function. And rest assured, you don't have to solve all 40 to see improvement. He discusses something called a threshold point where enough of the factors are addressed to begin the healing process. Now, some of the solutions are more complicated than others depending on your individual conditions. Diabetes, heart disease, sleep apnea, and menopause are just a few of these complications, but we will also cover the specifics of how to heal the brain even if you have them as well. Now, this episode will cover a few all-encompassing changes that can help most people with the risk of cognitive decline. Please share this with someone you care about and join us on our masterclass by clicking on the link in the description of this show, or you can go to bit.ly/brainbuilders. That is the class on September 7th. It's a six-week-long class. It will be every Friday, and we are going to cover and go way in depth on all of this information as far as different protocols to make sure that you are optimizing your cognitive brain health and avoiding everything that's going to keep you from having optimal brain health. So, enough of that. Let's jump into it. The three things, I'm going to list off the three things. Some of these are going to need to have their own separate episodes, but since we're a little bit short on time, we're just going to talk about, I'm going to list the three, and then I'm going to cover as much as I can. Number one, now I know this seems really basic and simple, but you need to have the optimal diet for brain health. And Dr. Bredesen has come up with the KetoFlex 12-3 diet. Now that involves 12 hours of fasting, but that sounds scary, but all that is from the last time you eat at night, so say you eat at 7 o'clock at night, that means that you don't eat again until 7 o'clock in the morning, that 12-hour fast while you're sleeping. So that's pretty much the easiest way to do it. If you are APOE4 positive, however, he suggests 14 to 16 hours of a fast, so you would add an additional, 4 hours to that example, so you wouldn't eat anything until 11 o'clock the next morning. So that's the diet, and we're going to talk about that a little bit more in a second. Also, and this is no-brainer common sense stuff, but it's just what people need to hear in America now because they just don't remember what's good for you. The second thing that everybody needs to add to your daily regimen is exercise. I know, people don't want to exercise. They like to sit and watch their Netflix, and they're tired after work, and they're not wanting to do anything. Well, all this can be is you need to do some brisk walking 45 minutes, 4 to 5 times a week. I mean, that's it. And technically, it only has to be twice a week because two of those days can be on the weekend. So that's pretty simple. Brisk walking, you can add some weight training. We're going to go into specifics on that as well. And the third thing that is so important for brain health is getting good quality sleep. And I love the different little hacks that we're going to talk about. If we don't get in it in this episode, we'll talk about it next time. But there are some amazing different sleep hacks to figuring out how to get the best sleep, best quality sleep. You're the most restful and rested in the morning. You're ready for work. So let's jump back into the KetoFlex 12-3 diet, which is the diet that Dr. Bredesen recommends. And we're going to talk about the fact that it is a flexitarian diet because it is a plant-based diet, but you can eat some meats. You only want 2 to 3 ounces of meat per meal. But the thing is, the way he likes to look at it is meat is a condiment. You're not using meat as the main course because you actually get more protein. There's a great video on YouTube called Dude, Where's My Protein? It's a little satirical, kind of funny, tongue-in-cheek kind of thing, but it actually points out that per weight, there's more protein in broccoli, cauliflower, and other cruciferous vegetables than there is in a piece of steak or a piece of chicken because the meat itself is actually more fat and sinew. So you might want to check that out on YouTube. Now, you want to eat the KetoFlex 12-3 diet. It actually is something that Dr. Bredesen and his wife, who is also a physician, created. And it's a plant-based diet, especially the non-starchy vegetables. And it's best to include both uncooked vegetables, such as those in salads and cooked ones, and to include as many colors as possible. So deep greens to bright yellows and orange. So you want to have mostly plants. And for whatever protein you do eat, as far as meat, you want to have 1 gram of protein for each kilogram of your weight. So, for example, if you weighed 70 kilograms, which is 154 pounds to you and me in the U.S. of A., you should consume 70 grams of protein. And just so you know, 3 ounces of fish, and it has to be wild-caught, one of the smash fish, salmon, mackerel, anchovies, sardines, or herring, 3 ounces of that is 20 grams of protein, okay? So now, just I was curious, I was like, because, you know, being a football player, I used to eat literally an entire roasted chicken from the grocery store. So what happens if we eat more than 1 gram of protein for each kilogram of body weight? Well, biochemically, there is some conversion to carbohydrates, and this actually can contribute to the very insulin resistance that we're trying to reverse. This is referring to people that are insulin resistant. Because the whole point of the KetoFlex 12-3, the keto refers to ketosis, because mild ketosis, it turns out, is optimal for cognitive function. And so the beta-hydroxybutyrate, which is one of the ketones, there's also acetoacetate and acetone, you want that in your system because it increases production of the important neuron and synapse-supporting molecule BDNF, which is the brain-derived neurotrophic factor, among other good effects. Now, in order to promote ketosis, you need to have a low-carb diet, which is why this is a plant-based diet. You want to minimize – now, I know this is hard, and I know that's why we're going to probably end up talking mostly about diet on this episode, but you need to avoid sugars, bread, white potatoes, white rice. I was just telling a patient today, they were like, what about rice? We love rice. Okay, not the white rice. You want to do wild rice. Quinoa is another option that has a similar consistency, and that actually is really high in protein, so quinoa would be better. Soft drinks, avoid soft drinks. Oh my gosh, you're going to just overload on sugar if you have soft drinks. Alcohol, if you have alcohol that quickly converts to sugar in the system. So that's something that you need to only have a glass of wine maybe a couple times a week. That's it. So moderation is the key. Obviously, you want to avoid candy. You don't want to eat cakes. You don't want any processed foods because that is going to lead to issues. Now, if another way that you can get into ketosis is to consume fats such as MCT oil. If you're aware of Dave Asprey's work, the Bulletproof Diet, the Bulletproof Coffee, all of that, it has the organic grass-fed butter, the ghee in the coffee. It has MCT oil. He has Brain Octane, which is another really strong MCT oil. And you can also eat unsaturated fats such as olive oil or avocado or nuts to promote mild ketosis. Personally, I literally just had, and this is amazing because, like I said, I used to eat a ton of meat, steaks, anything I could to gain weight. But I have found a new favorite meal that is avocado, kale, because kale, if you're eating having any carbs at all, kale kind of slows down and lowers the glycemic index of the entire meal, so that kind of helps you absorb it better. And I haven't gotten my test yet from 23andMe to see if I am APOE4 positive yet. But, you know, I just, once I find that out, I also ordered a ketone meter. And so I'm going to figure out what my ketone levels are. You want them to be around 0.5-ish. And that's something that we'll talk about as well. But my favorite meal is avocados, kale salad. What else did I have today? I had blueberries in the salad. I had raspberries in the salad. I had walnuts, a little bit of balsamic and olive oil mixed in there, which just is delicious. And I added 3 little chicken tenders. Now, the one downside that I did for the chicken tenders, because if you there's a certain way that you can cook your foods. If you do it at high heat, if you grill, if you microwave, obviously, things like that, that's going to cause you to have more glycation in the foods, and that is a bad thing. You don't want that. So back to the whole point of this is for the diet is because it's for insulin-resistant people. If you're insulin-resistant, that is the single most important metabolic contributor to Alzheimer's disease. And so we want to make sure that you're getting your diet, exercise, sleep, and stress reduction. So we're obviously going to cover these in future episodes. I can't believe I'm almost running out of time already. It's insane. But the whole point is to have metabolic flexibility and not be stuck where your body is in like a neither state. So what you're neither asleep or awake, you're not going to experience the full benefits of either state, because when you're awake, you're supposed to be active and exercising. When you're asleep, you're supposed to be resting. But we're not feeling recharged when you wake up anymore because we're not sleeping correctly, because we aren't there's a variety of things. He refers to sleep hygiene, which we talk about in the office all the time. You want to make sure that you're not looking at any TV, no Netflix, no cell phones, no iPads. You don't want any of that stuff at least within an hour of going to bed, because you don't want to go from being super engaged, hyper-stimulated to, okay, now it's time for bed, and just snap into it and go to sleep. That's not how the brain works. You need to journal in an actual notebook, like write it down. You need to read a paper book, not anything on your phone or iPad. Because anything from an electronic device is going to emit blue light. And blue light actually blocks melatonin production. And that's going to keep you from sleeping. So you don't want to do that. And you just want to try to make sure it's as dark as possible in the room. And make sure you're hydrated, but not too close to the time that you go to bed. Because then you're going to have to get up and pee, which you don't want to have to do that. So that the insulin resistance, that is such an important thing, because so many people, it's so sad. I mean, they have kids nowadays that are getting diagnosed with prediabetes, and they're kids. So this is something that Americans need to stand up and recognize. You have got to get your kids out there. I grew up in Arkansas where it was like you're either in or out, and most of the time your folks wanted you outside playing in the woods, playing with your friends, playing soccer, playing football, whatever, just being active, being a kid. We need to get back to that as we age. We still need to say, okay, I'm awake, and if I sit in a cubicle all day long, I'm going to make sure I get up at least once every hour for 5 to 10 minutes and just walk around, maybe stretch a little bit, just move, because it is critical to move, because that stimulates your proprioception, and that's your brain's perception of the body. And so as you move around, that helps make sure that everything's connected still, because the more you sit there in that neither region where you're not either awake or asleep, you're kind of like a zombie sitting there doing your work, your brain is going to slowly start to think, I'm not needed here because I'm not really being used. And that's when you start losing your cognitive function. You do not want that. So you have to stay active. Now, we're going to talk about exercise more next time, and then we're going to go into sleep, and then even more exciting stuff. Actually, I'll talk about some supplements as well next time, because there's a lot of great supplements, and not just supplements, but herbs that you can take that actually help optimize your brain function. So that's exciting. And we're going to talk about exercise, how to reduce stress, and a whole bunch of other things in future episodes. So stay tuned. really excited and so appreciative and blessed to have you on this podcast.